Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to a wonderful episode. I'm predicting it. I'm calling it. It's Serious Definitely. Issues, a comic book podcast. My name is Andrew Levins.
My name is Siobhan Coombs.
And we're back again for another fortnight of us updating you of the comics that we've read that we also think you should read, because I've exclusively read great comics over the last couple of weeks, and I'm assuming Siobhan has too.
I would be so sure about that.
Oh no.
I read a lot of shit comics.
Excellent.
But mostly good, mostly great.
So we're going to go through what we've been doing. As I mean, I know a lot of our listeners are not from Australia, but Australia seems to be kind of on the track to some form of normality. My son goes back to school next week, which is a massive step. It means that I don't have to be his teacher anymore. Which was a fun novelty at first.
Yeah, I did enjoy how, like, the first couple of days you were like, here's my sweet little plan. And then very quickly, no more sweet lesson plans.
Well, no, here's the thing.
It's
homeschooling
hard work,
ruled.
Though, man.
Well, it ruled when I set the plan, when I was like, okay, here's what I want to teach him. And like, here are the kind of things that we can focus on. And my wife, who is an actual kindergarten teacher, was like, you know, you should work on this with him. And then, you know, it was great. But then as it became, all of the state is getting homeschooled now, and we had to adapt his school's lesson plan. And I had to push the work that it was just like the work that his school made him do, and like assist him in Zoom meetings, which basically means stop him from fucking around during Zoom meetings with his school. Like, and he gets bored, and then he starts mucking around because Zoom has a chat function. Surely, like, New South Wales schools has enough funding to find an online video client that doesn't have a chat function that kids can sit, because he kept getting kicked out of lessons because he would like just spam emojis as soon as he was bored.
I mean, I genuinely don't know how they expected this to work. My little sister is like 17 and she's in year 11 at high school, and she would just like be asleep in Zoom meetings and leave up like a picture of herself. And like, what are they going to do? She'd just be like taking screenshots and sending them to me and like laughing. Just like, she hasn't done any work in like months. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah, but look, I mean, next week, school going back. My wife is a teacher, so she's also going back to school as well. I've got a couple of days at home with just my 3-year-old Tilly, which is, you know, we can just do fun stuff all day. That's fun. That's fine.
Yeah.
I think it is starting to feel like a little bit more normal here. And comics are back now too.
Yeah. No Marvel yet, and DC are doing some things that are going to harm comic book stores outside of America quite a lot, apparently. So they've been looking into different distribution channels other than Diamond, which theoretically sounds great, except that then they're going to favor those distribution channels above Diamond, which means that stores outside of the States, like, we're not going to get a whole bunch of comics that we'd already ordered.
Oh, brutal.
But at least we're getting some comics or something.
Do you think there's room for like multiple people to offer international services as well as Diamond, or is it this is?
I mean, that would be great if we could like destroy the monopoly that Diamond has on the comic book industry. I'm sure that would be great for literally everyone. But the right. the ways they're talking about doing it at the moment are just really going to fuck up any store outside of the States, I think. But maybe not. I was very like pessimistic about what this was going to do to the comic book industry as a whole, and it hasn't impacted things as badly as I thought.
Yeah, right. Awesome. Kind of awesome.
Kind of. We'll see.
Possibly, potentially awesome. Have you read any of these aforementioned brand new comics?
Yeah, because the best comic that DC are putting out came out. Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen. Hooray!
Wow, look at Siobhan is holding up to her screen a single issue format comic. I haven't seen a new one of those since last year because King's closed. King's closed in like the early weeks of January while I was on holiday.
Yeah.
And then the pandemic happened, so I haven't gotten any new comics since the end of last year.
I can't even imagine what your standing order must look like. Out of control. Yeah. Boxes and boxes.
So yeah, I'm looking forward to the King's comics store opening in Sydney soonish.
Very, very soon, I hope.
Hopefully soon, yeah. It is a little bit scary, yeah, knowing that I have all these series that I've completely forgotten about. Like, oh, yeah, 5 years. That's still going.
The next issue of that came out. I also read that.
Oh, great. Well, let's pretend this is a regular episode of Serious Issues. Yeah. Siobhan, tell us about the comics that came out in the last week.
Should we do... Okay, I've read three.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
First things first, I read the first issue of Ludocrats, which is a new comic by Kieran Gillen.
What's it called?
Ludocrats, I believe.
I think you said like Ludocrap.
No. Ludocrats, yeah. Sorry. But it's a real weird one. So it's written by Kieran Gillen and Jim Rossignol, who I've never heard of, with art by Jeff Stokely. And colours by Tamara Bonvillain.
Nice.
And it's a weird one. It's Kieran Gillen at his like fruitiest, I would say. It's set in a kind of... It starts off saying like, we had the potential to create a better world. We tried to imagine a better world. We failed. Instead, we did this. And then the first panel is a full page of a completely nude man covered in blood.
So pretty up your alley.
Good fun. I read it and I was like, I can't tell if I love this or I hate it. Because it's super, it's very like high concept, quite sort of fantasy, very wordy, lots of nonsense, lots of bullshit. But it's like in this world where like you have to be ludicrous, you have to be really silly. Anyone who's boring, that's the worst crime of all. And it's like super, super horny. The main character... is this big fat guy called Otto who is like always talking about like rutting and like humping things and like wanting to couple and like all this kind of stuff. And they're trying to find, he's now trying to be made boring by his brother who is the high pope of this world. It's real silly, man. I think in the end I did enjoy it. It's a little bit like... in the kind of no winky, nudge, nudge, winky, winky comic book fan kind of stuff. Like there's a appearance by Casanova Quinn.
I was going to say, it actually sounds a lot like Casanova. Matt Fraction's Casanova. Yeah.
Yeah. So he shows up in a dinosaur suit to steal some stuff and then gets killed. And he goes like, oh God, a crossover. Let me deal with it. So it's all kind of a bit meta-textual or whatever. But in general, pretty good fun. Really silly... strong cartooning. Reminds me of what was that one about? who's the person who did that Martian Manhunter series recently?
Steve Orlando.
Did the art on it?
Well, I don't know. No one knows that.
Well, anyway. Good. Pretty good, I reckon. Ludocrats, issue one from Image Comics.
If you like, was it Riley Rossmo?
There we go. The art kind of reminds me of Riley Rossmo. What was that one about the adventurer?
Oh yeah, that was cool.
Yeah, exactly. Strong dong book. Watch warnings for this one. There's a lot of dongs in this.
Why would you ever give a warning for a dong watch?
Yeah, I guess I mean like a dong watch update, dong watch highlight. If you like blood-covered dongs, then this is the comic for you, guys.
Deathbed was the name of that Riley Rossmo comic. Who wrote that one? Was it...
I think it was just Riley Rossmo, wasn't it?
No, it was Joshua Williamson.
Oh.
Vertigo put that one out. Remember Vertigo?
Remember Vertigo?
Imprint Vertigo that put out legendary comics for 30 years and now doesn't exist anymore.
I get weirdly sad seeing all of the reprints of Vertigo comics with the DC Black Label
dumb
thing on it, but what are you going to do?
It's so stupid. Don't try and co-opt this thing that you already had ownership of. Like, it's bizarre.
And it's also like Vertigo had such a specific like voice and stuff. It seems wrong to see books like Transmetropolitan with like DC Black Label. No, it's a Vertigo book, man. Don't erase history.
What was the Bat Dong book again?
I can only remember.
No one knows what it was called. No one finished.
No one cares.
It.
I think it finished. Or something. Okay, the other two comics I read issue 10, Superman's pal Jimmy Olsen, Matt Fraction, and Steve Lieber. Everything's coming to a head finally. Did you read this at all?
I read up to like issue 7 or 8, and even before all the mess happened, it was a pretty difficult one to follow month to month because I feel like so much happens in each issue.
And it's all on different timelines as well. Like, yeah, they go totally. Back and forth heaps. So now
it'll be such
finally
a good one to own in trade. So yeah. I'm definitely waiting for that.
I think it's been plotted really specifically like for the 12 issues. And I think it'll be an incredibly satisfying read in trade or even just once you've collected all the singles. Now we're starting to see like all of the threads pulled together. But I just have so much fun with this book. It's so silly and so like Silver Age-y. And we get like the classic Jimmy in drag moment in this issue, which is like...
Great.
Totally brilliant. And Steve Lieber's like just such a funny cartoonist. There's so many things in this book that really, really make me laugh out loud, like the character the Porcadillo.
Oh yep.
So funny, so good. This is, I'm just showing Levins the moment where Jimmy comes down in drag and all the men are like, oh, who is she? She's so beautiful. It's really good. I think that this is like, If you like Matt Fraction at his kind of most silly, if you like Wes Anderson movies, I would say there's a lot to really enjoy in this Jimmy Olsen series. And I think that if you have an awareness of like the Silver Age kind of escapades of Jimmy Olsen, it is more fun. But even without, I think you can still get a lot out of this book.
And it's good to read a Steve Lieber book without having to endure Nick Spencer's dialogue.
Absolutely.
I know. Like, I say that as a fan of some of those series, but by the end I was just like, man, enough.
Yeah, I wonder what he's even doing these days, Nick Spencer. He was in so much demand and he seems to have just
isn't
been
he
churned up.
He wrote a bunch of stuff at Marvel recently, didn't he?
I don't know, man.
Didn't he do their last I can't remember either. Who knows? So that you've got one more comic,
the
one
only
more
thing
single
I read
issue comic?
Was issue 9 of 5 years, the Terry Moore series. I missed a couple of issues, so I really didn't understand what was happening in this. But it's still Terry Moore. It still looks great. There's still like some hilarious ultra violence by a small child.
Excellent.
And
this is the big busty women.
That's what you want.
This is the big crossover of all of Terry Moore's independent series: Strangers in Paradise, Rachel Rising, the one
Motor Girl,
Space Motor Girl. And the space one, or whatever the space one was called.
I think.
But yeah, there's like 5 years left before the Earth explodes, which seemed like a crazy, crazy, story before this year happened. But it's a shame this one got delayed. I'm looking forward to catching up with it, though.
Yeah, it was a good issue, even if I sort of wasn't 100% sure what was going on.
I had to delete a whole bunch of photos off my phone because I was running out of storage, and I was going through, it must have been like 2 or 3 years ago when I used to take photos of comics to share on the Serious Issues Twitter. And there was one unbelievable, one unbelievable like double page spread that I took from the last, they did like a 12 issue Strangers in Paradise return. Mm-hmm. And what's her name? The Bond one from Strangers in Paradise.
Ka-choo.
Yeah, Ka-choo, like, I think driving as fast as she could, and then with just this massive text in, like, bubble writing up above her that just said, Stephanie must die.
It was awesome. Oh, I even remember that. It's yeah, so it was good,
such a,
man.
Such a wonderful double-page spread.
We just did cool. Strangers in Paradise for Queens of Kings, the last Queens of Kings. And it's such a strange one to... Because you kind of really want to recommend, like, the whole series. That's how it's kind of best when you have come a long way with those characters. But just the first volume is a bit tricky to recommend. And one of the women really didn't like it.
Yeah.
She was I didn't enjoy any of this.
It is like a scumbag, like, 90s sitcom kind of vibe in the first one. Like, yeah, it's very Kevin Smithy.
Very,
like, quippy dialogue. This is just the first four issues, and then it quickly gets much better.
Yeah, and quite, like, dated in a bunch of ways, like, in terms of that kind of, like, the way they talk about women and stuff and, like, the relationship stuff. Some of it you're like, ooh, you wouldn't want to say that now.
but I think he Terry Moore, became very, very good at writing female characters, even if those first four issues don't display any of that.
One of the women from Queens was like, I actually met Terry Moore when I went to, she went to ECCC in the States. And she was like, yeah, he was there with his wife, and he was like super nice, really nice guy. And I was like, my most important question is, was his wife super stacked? Is that where his inspiration and love of super stacked women comes from? She was like, I'm gonna be honest, I didn't notice.
Damn,
disappointing. What a disappointment.
Well, it's, hopefully if someone could confirm for us whether or not Terry Moore's wife is super stacked.
I feel rude saying that now.
Just a joke. So I've obviously read a ton of manga over the last 2 weeks. And before we get to that, because you're going to be very excited. I don't know if you saw me posting in the group about what manga I've been reading.
I did.
But it's extremely in your wheelhouse. But before I get there, I want to share two things that I've been reading digitally that are not manga. The first of which, and these both definitely interest you, the first of which is a new comic called Brutal Dark. And Brutal Dark is the first comic that features not just coloring, but art by the son of Sean Phillips. So this is
Jacob.
Yes, yeah, so Jacob Phillips. That's right. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to find the actual issue itself. So Chris Condon is the writer, and Jacob Phillips is the artist. And Jacob Phillips, yeah, I guess is at this point in his career most known as the colorist on the last few issues of Criminal, and he's also the son of Sean Phillips, who is the artist and frequent collaborator of Ed Brubaker on Criminal. He also did artwork on their last few couple of graphic novels as well. There's a new series that they started on Patreon, and for $1 a month, you get a 10-page issue every single month. It's called Brutal Dark, and you can access it by going to patreon.com/condonphillips. I pronounce the condon, but like very, very like deliberately, so it's you know how to spell it. So it's condon Phillips. patreon.com/condonphillips. It's a crime book. So it's Brutal Dark, The Adventures of Ezra Kane, PI. And I think the background imagery is very reminiscent of Sean Phillips' art, in that it's exquisitely detailed, like great brickwork and you know, film noir shadows and all that kind of thing. But I find Jacob Phillips' facial work and kind of people in general to be very different to what I'm used to from Sean Phillips. It's a lot rougher in a good stylistic kind of way. I mean, I know, like, it's almost kind of hilarious that his first book is a crime book, given the bulk of his father's work. But this is a very different kind of crime book. This is a kind of classic, almost feels like a radio play brought to life in a comic.
Mm.
It's Brutal Dark, The Adventures of Ezra Kane, PI. And on the front of the first cover is, when death stares him down, he dares stare back. And the first 10 pages of this series are this Ezra Kane PI and another detective trying to bust into a a hostage that he's using to get in to track down this other criminal. And after the other guy that Ezra Kane is with gets shot down, he chases after the criminal, who is almost, he's in like a big kind of like trench coat with a Tommy gun and jumps out of a window. There's a big action chase and some excellent you know, bullets and onomatopoeia worked into the excellent bullets.
I mean, that sounds really great. I love Private Investigator.
But there might be a touch of supernatural or sci-fi in this, because it looks as though the hero of this story might be bulletproof.
Oh, excellent, yeah. Bullets.
Who is this death-defying angel of justice? Is he friend or foe? Tune in next time to find the truth about Kane. And I will, because I am a $1 Patreon subscriber of their Patreon, and I recommend everyone who is a fan of Criminal. And also, I feel like Jacob Phillips, I want to support him a lot. I know he wasn't that a story a while ago of him doing a bunch of colors for Sean Phillips' work for DC or something,
and they made him recolor it or something.
They just hired a new colorist to do it.
Yeah.
They really clashed, and I don't know. I think that's shitty. I think he's a really, really good colorist, and I want to support the dude. So, yeah, he has another Image of publishing another comic by this same duo later in the year. So looking forward to that. But yeah, definitely recommend, yeah, cool. Brutal Dark. And the other online one, which is free if you would like to read it, it is a comic called The Grot.
And, nice. I haven't actually read it all yet.
The Grot is by Pat Grant and Fionn McCabe. And we actually interviewed Pat Grant on Serious Issues a couple years ago, off the back of his excellent comic about surfing and racism and small town Australia called Blue. It's about, it's like kind of like about immigration, but through the eyes of aliens, and there's, mm-hmm, lots of pollution and that kind of thing. And it's excellent, very unique book with excellent art by Pat Grant. And his next project, which I guess at one point, I think when we interviewed him, he talked about this potentially coming out through Dark Horse, but I might have that wrong. Top Shelf are actually publishing The Grot in a physical edition, in a trade.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually, if you go to thegrotcomic.com, you can read this for free online, but you can also, there's also a link to buy the graphic novel, the special launch edition. And
I love that. I love that you can just read it for free, but like, it still gives you the option to support it and keep it forever.
Yeah, totally. And so, yeah, I've read part one of The Grot, and mm-hmm, it is a lot of fun. It's I guess the Grot refers to like a part of I guess it's like a post-apocalyptic town, and there are grifters, and they're all going towards the green, except there's also the Grot, and word gets out that you can find green, which is I guess like wealth, in the Grot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, mm-hmm, about wading through the Grot to find the green. And
I love the, like, themes that he like deals with in his work all the time.
Yeah, totally. So the full title is The Grot, The Story of the Swamp City Grifters. And you can pre-order it through topshelfcomics.com as well. I really like what I've read so far, and it does tie in a little bit to the books I'm about to talk about. So definitely, if you like something that's a little bit gross, but in a fun way, it has a lot of comedic parts. There's like a lot of like Twilight Zone weird wondrous stuff going on in what I've read so far. I would recommend it too. So again, you can go check that out at thegrotcomic.com.
Nice.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
So, is it manga time, Siobhan?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I've got a couple more things that I also read, but we can talk about your manga first because I'm excited.
Let's save manga time. Why don't you tell me about these Western books that you keep peddling?
I read the first trade of Once in Future. Again, another Kieran Gillen book. Big Kieran Gillen week. So this is the next book that I'm doing for the King's Quarantine Book Club. So I figured I should read it. It's written by Kieran Gillen with art by Dan Mora, who we know and love from Claws. His work on Buffy.
The WWE, the wrestling comics that we both loved.
I love wrestling. And with art, with colors again by Tamara Bombion. And this is like a... it's based in Arthurian legend. So it's... You think you know about King Arthur? Well, you don't know shit, man. So this book starts with a group of, British nationalists trying to bring King Arthur back from the dead to, make Britain great again and whatever. but King Arthur is not... The King Arthur they bring back is not a King Arthur that we would recognize. He is, this gross, horrifying, scary zombie man in a crown. I'm going to find a picture to show you.
Cool.
Because it's pretty spooky. And there's an old lady called Bridget who escapes from her nursing home, and she's a retired monster hunter, and she enlists her grandson, who's this sort of pure virginal university professor, to help her take down King Arthur before he ends the world. And it's kind of based in Arthurian legend, but also based pretty heavily in actual history about Saxons and Celts and all those kinds of conflicts from thousands and thousands of years ago. But it's also got, a cranky old lady who swears and who shoots people and smokes fags all the time and whatever, blah, blah, blah. It's really, it's enjoyable. Dan Mora is incredible at action sequences. He manages to make this Duncan guy, who could be very sort of gormless, he's kind of wandering through, not really knowing anything that's going on, but he's this big handsome hunk, so he's a big dumb hunk, which is a great, everyone loves that.
Yeah.
But Dan hunks. Mora is so great at really selling the comedy of the moments in the facial expressions. It's probably the funniest I think I've ever seen Dan Mora do, but it's also very that's King Arthur showing weapons. He's a spooky zombie.
Oh, that's King great man. Holy moly, really, I've never seen Dan Mora draw big spooky horror stuff before. That cool.
Absolutely. So it's a great mix of comedy and horror and action and sort of fantasy and history. I wouldn't say it's my favorite Kieran Gillen book. I think that Die is probably the book of his that I've enjoyed most.
You've got to go back and give The Wicked and the Divine a chance.
I know. I keep seeing all the collected volumes and being man, I really should read it all. And I will one day, probably, maybe. But this is, I did really enjoy this. If you like sort of the King Arthur legend, if you like fantasy, if you like spooky horror, I reckon give this a whirl. It's pretty good. Dan Mora is great.
Fantastic. Awesome.
And then the other thing I read is the manga classics version of James Joyce's Ulysses. Which
it's
I
not
bought
fair
for my
that
mom.
You hit the manga button before I did.
I know, I'm sorry. I bought that for my mom a couple of years ago for Christmas as a joke because she's always trying to make me read James Joyce because she's all I love Irish literature. I love being depressed, blah, blah, blah. But she never read it because she thinks comics are for idiots. So I stole it back and I read it. And guys, James Joyce knows a thing or two about writing, I'll tell you what. But I think it's better in manga form. The end.
Who did the manga adaptation?
It doesn't even say, man. Like,
what?
It's such a... Let me see if I can actually find a name at all.
That's insane.
It says author and images by Variety Artworks.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah. Isn't that funny? So you can't... Like, I don't even know who drew it. I wouldn't say it's the most, like, sophisticated manga. To be honest,
right.
Probably just buy a good manga or read Ulysses. But you know what? It's fine. It's totally fine. I just love the classics.
I just tried to Google it, and I came up with Ulysses, Jean d'Arc and the Alchemist Knight, a light novel series. Oh, wow. It looks like a fun. It's about a young knight whose dream is to become an alchemist and find out the secret of the Philosopher's Stone.
Hell yeah. And sounds cool, man.
There's a very 12-year-old looking girl in not much clothing and a big sword on the front cover. Was this what you bought your mum?
Yeah, that's exactly what I bought. No wonder she disowned me.
All right, the manga button has officially been pressed.
That's the manga button.
And you've brought up Junji Ito on the podcast many, many times. I'm sure you've read like a great number, upwards of six of his books in the past, I reckon.
Maybe.
And you would talk about it, and I would always say, man, I got to get around to reading some of his stuff one day. And I owned Dissolving Classroom. I owned that. Last year, I borrowed Smash from Kings for a week, a collection of his horror stories. And I read a couple of them and talked about them on the podcast. And for whatever reason, like I never fully went in. Angus, my co-host on Hey Fam, one of my other podcasts, bought me No Longer Human for Christmas last year, which is his adaptation of a novel by another Japanese writer that came out last year. Have you read that?
No.
Well, I will soon. Because last week I was sent a package from Viz Media containing a new art book called Twisted Visions. It is all the artwork of Junji Ito, who is a very famous mangaka who specializes in horror. And these can be like the grossest images you've ever seen kind of horror, or just like odd stories horror, or stories that appear to be just odd, but then stay with you for ages and like are actually like totally creepy.
Incredibly unsettling.
Very unsettling stuff. And so Twisted Visions collects like lots of color artwork from, I guess, like covers and promotional matter that he did around the releases of some of his biggest books, including Tomie, Uzumaki, and Gyo. I just flicked through this and I was like, okay, well done, Viz Media. Your ploy worked. And I immediately ordered all of his books.
Classic living style.
Yeah, so I now am the proud owner of Tomie, Uzumaki, Gyo, Shiva, Smashed, Fragments of Horror, Dissolving Classroom, No Longer Human, Twisted Visions, Frankenstein, and I have a book that he wrote about his cats, Yon and Moo, on the way.
Yeah, so cute.
I'm looking forward to reading that after getting through all of his horror stuff, because it is just going to be so strange.
Space them out almost.
Well, I've read
too much.
They all arrived last Friday, and I have read Tomie, Uzumaki, Gyo, Fragments of Horror, Dissolving Classroom, and Frankenstein since Friday.
How flipping good is his Frankenstein? Oh,
I couldn't believe how good it was.
Man.
So it's a fairly faithful adaptation of the Mary Shelley book with a few changes that I think improve the story a lot.
His visual language for it is so beyond anything I had ever imagined, and has really stuck with me, and is like, now when I think about Frankenstein, this is the version that I think about.
Yeah,
like,
so I tried to.
Brightson's is amazing, but this is like super up there.
I tried to read it as like kind of close to like publishing order as I could. So I started with Tomie, which is all about a girl who basically a girl who dies, is frequently killed by like men who are in love with her, but then she either grows back from what remains of her body or resurrects herself somehow and haunts everybody.
And then appears
to curse other men. So have you read that?
Yeah, I've read the Tomie collection a while ago. I think it was the first thing of his that I've read. I've never read Uzumaki.
Really?
But shit, I've read Tomie.
I got to lend you Uzumaki.
Yes, please.
It's so good. Tomie has like a very, very soft spot in my heart and will for always, which is hilarious to talk about something that I read five days ago. But since then, I've read so much else by him that it just feels like I was there at the start of his career reading that, you know?
Yeah.
That weird feeling when you just ingest everything a creator has done.
And when you read Tomie, you really get a sense of like what his kind of voice and vision is, and you kind of start to get into his like strange mental space, if that makes sense.
Yeah, so like there's a lot of humor to his books, but then suddenly it will be like dry and unsettling and creepy, and then that story will just end abruptly. But the best thing about those collections is that it is almost like an ongoing story, even though it collects a bunch of short stories. And he's most famous for his collections of short stories, but his longer works like Tomie and Uzumaki and Gyo, they are like, I guess, like a longer form story of collections of shorter stories set around this one premise. And Uzumaki is all about a small town of Japan that starts getting obsessed with spirals. And it starts off like in a very subtle way. You have basically it's all told from the point of view of this one young girl, and her boyfriend's father, once when she's on her way to her boyfriend's house for dinner, she interrupts him staring quietly at a snail, specifically the spiral shape on the snail's shell, and then he like marvels in its beauty, and then it comes out that he's obsessed with spirals, and he quits his job, and all he does is just looks at pictures of spirals. And her dad is a potter, and he's been making pottery and pots and things like that and they all have the spiral pattern in them, and her boyfriend's dad just obsesses over them, and then learns to coil his tongue around and around like a spiral, and like this is just so in like funny. The first.
Like, it starts so kind of, like, a bit weird, but, like, quite sort of mundane and normal. And it just goes into, like, a really weird place that you wouldn't expect. And it just ends up, like, lodging itself in your brain forever.
Well, yeah, I mean, and then there is actually a spiral lodged very close to your brain. It's part of your ear. And you can imagine how that plays into this story as well.
Oh, man.
But we also see, like, on a bigger scale, like, there's like spirals in the water and spirals in the air and spirals of mosquitoes and then spirals in the land, and like they all play a part, and it just escalates and escalates and escalates. It's a crazy collection, and like once I started it, I was like, okay, goodbye the rest of today, because this is all I'm doing now. It's incredible, and definitely my favorite of all of the books that I've read so far, closely followed by Frankenstein. Gyo is like a monster book. Cool. About walking fish that are like decaying flesh and stink like decomposing bodies, and then they spray out gas that infects humans. Very disgusting.
Oh, man.
And then have you read Dissolving Classroom? That's like one of the few books that wasn't published here by
Vince.
No,
I haven't.
It's about. It's so funny and stupid. It's about a brother. A brother and sister who start going to a school. The sister is this like evil little brat who says she wants to lick out people's brains, and her brother is just constantly apologizing to people. And in the first story, it's revealed that he made a deal with the devil, and so whenever he apologizes again and again and again, whoever hears it, their brains melt, and then his sister eats the brains.
Oh, I did read that.
But there's like 10 chapters of this, and it's like the dissolving classroom, then it's like the dissolving apartment built block, then it's the dissolving it's great.
It's
so much fun. It's so stupid.
But terrifying.
And just like great gore.
Have you read Shiver yet?
No, so I'm leaving. I left Shiver and Smash Till Last because that has some of the more recent ones. Oh, sorry. I'm finally going to read No Longer Human, I guess, this weekend.
I think Shiver has maybe at least the story that has stuck in my head the most.
I skipped forward and I read one that I think you're about to bring up now because I was reading
heads?
About him. What
is
the one, sorry?
Heads?
The balloon no, heads? No, it's...
Oh. The balloon I'm heads to reading weirdly that. Stuck with me. Which one are you talking about?
It's called Greased. And it's about a family who own and live above a yakiniku barbecue restaurant in Japan. And the brother, he gets addicted to drinking oil. And so then he gets a shocking outbreak of pimples all over his skin. And at one point he squeezes his pimples all over his sister. It's disgusting.
The thing that's crazy is that he seems like Junji Ito seems like a pretty normal, nice guy. But like, what is going on? What's going on in your brain, man?
It's the best. Keep at it, man.
It's so good. There's just, like, I've just never read anything else like it. And it's so like, yeah, I can't even put words.
My favorite art of his is in Frankenstein. I love his adaptation so much. So yeah, like I would definitely, if anyone needs a, if anyone feels like getting addicted to something immediately, definitely buy this brand new collection that's just come out called Twisted Visions, The Art of Junji Ito. It's relatively like, it's around like the $30-$40 mark. And it's a beautiful hardcover book. These are all beautiful hardcover books, by the way. All the Viz
and Kings
collections.
Actually has all of Junji Ito's books in stock at the moment.
Oh, fantastic. So awesome.
You can order them
kingscomics.com.
Kingscomics.com right now.
Man, it's just, the artwork is beautiful. Like, you know, if he was just writing like romance comics, and that's like the best thing about Tomie and I think Uzumaki, is they both showed up. They were both originally published in Weekly Shoujo, which is the comics for young, like for teenage girls. So these are both these horrific, gory comics were originally intended for just like teenage girls to pick up in their cheap weekly comics magazine. It's so great. I just love that they that this is how they all started. It rules. Everyone get into Junji Ito. I guess next time we record, I'll talk about Smashed, Shiver, and most importantly, No Longer Human, which I think is a very tonally different book to everything else he's ever done. So,
yeah, I look forward to hearing what you think of those ones too.
Yeah, and then I also, I finally am 100% caught up on Beastars, the manga.
Oh, cool.
I jumped forward and I, because the Netflix series, which I definitely recommend everyone watch, is excellent. It covers the first 50 chapters of the manga, and then they are publishing the volumes. I think they're up to volume 7-ish, which is you know, a couple of arcs past where the anime ends. But I had to read ahead, so I read it all digitally, and man, it is like one of my favorite manga I've ever read, and I would definitely recommend it. It starts out as like a romantic kind of character study of animals in a school where you're divvied up into groups of herbivores and carnivores, and it's almost like a Romeo and Juliet type situation where a wolf falls in love with a bunny and knows that he can't be having these urges, and but then there's also like a drama club that they're both a part of, or she's part of the gardening club, and it starts off very high schooly, but then as this progresses over like, you know, the four or five years it's been written, and it's all been written by her name is Paru Itagaki. She wrote and drew this excellent manga. It then kind of grows the world around the school and the secret societies that exist either in the underworld or the people that make the decisions for all of the animals that live in this universe. And you're introduced to like a beast star is like kind of like the king of the animals, who is like, it's like the highest you can be in the world. And you meet the current beast star, who is like this extremely camp and fit horse who like masquerades as a zebra in undercover stings to bring down illegal carnivore operations.
Great.
Dude, it rules. It's so great. There's so much to it. so much complexity to the world that's in this. You definitely just pick up the first volume and let yourself go.
Enjoy myself. Why not?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's it for my week, my fortnight. Just a few hundred chapters of manga, as per usual.
Classic Levens.
I tried to go back.
Villette. That was good.
What was that, sorry?
I finished reading Villette, the Charlotte Bronte book. If you've read Jane Eyre, but you've never read Villette, I recommend Villette.
Oh, right. Cool. I borrowed a bunch of comics from the junior fiction section of the library before it got shut down for my son. And he read a book called Banana Sunday, which was written by Paul Tobin with illustrations by Colleen Coover.
Oh, cute. Oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, and I guess like Colleen Coover and Paul Tobin also wrote a series together called Bandette,
yeah,
which is has won lots of awards. And Archie was like, I overheard him one morning just like killing himself laughing, and he found it so, so funny, and then asked if we had any more books by these guys. And the only other book I have by Colleen Coover is Small Favors, which is a bunch of lesbian porno comics that she wrote.
To see what happens.
Yeah, man. Sure, perfect.
My son is like completely obsessed with Batman. We let him watch a couple of episodes of Batman the Animated Series, and like that is it. He only responds to Batman or Master Bruce. I have to be Alfred like most of the time if I want anything
that's
to get
amazing.
Done. He puts on his Batman voice all the time. He insists on wearing a cape. It's like a beautiful hell of my own making. But
Are you going to make your other son like the Robin figure, and then as he gets older you can put him in a disco outfit like Nightwing?
My plans, ha ha ha. But it is nice being able to share things that you love with your kids. Pretty cute. It's pretty nice.
Definitely. Yeah, actually I should give another shout out to the Dogman comic. There's a comic called Dogman.
That's so huge. By Dave Pilkey, isn't it?
Yeah, the guy who does
Captain Underpants.
That's right. And Archie thought this was the funniest thing he'd ever read in his life, and he came and showed me some of the jokes, and they're pretty great. Shouts to Dogman.
It's probably one of the best-selling comics in the world.
Yeah, right. Crazy. That's hilarious. Go Dogman.
Go Dogman.
Well, that's it for another great episode of Serious Issues. I told you it was going to be great, and it was.
Wasn't it one? You said wonderful, and I think it was wonderful.
Okay, well, right. Sure. I'm a liar. You can come and chat with us in our Facebook group, which is at facebook.com/groups/seriousissuespodcast. And we also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/seriousissuespodcast. Siobhan can be found eventually at King's Comics, but you can go to kingscomics.com to find most of the comics that we talked about in this episode. Kingscomics.com doing a lot of excellently priced digital bundles. Sorry, digitally selling them digitally. They're physical comics, of course.
Good sets of old back issues. We got some cool sets of Sin City up at the moment. Check them out.
And I got a bunch of other podcasts. They are Hey Fam, All the Small Games, The Mitchin, and I just started a new music podcast as part of my Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/levdog. If you need some new playlists and mixes and podcasts about music, that's where you'll find them. That's what I'm doing every single week in my cold little office. Patreon.com/levdog. Thank you so much for listening, Siobhan.
Thanks, guys.
Stay warm.
Yeah, you too.
See you next time.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.